What you just said is a bunch of garbage. Burger or a pulled pork taco or something. There ain't going to be no salad on that one. These guys can't get open, and Brady's got 3-4 seconds to throw. What the hell are they doing in the National Football League? You think I'm bad about tater tots? Quesadillas with the chips. Yay, yay.
All right, Buccaneers fans, 2-0 on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, all fired up. What a game, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. The sage has had his chance to put it in perspective, to sit on it, to think about it. And we're going to talk about it today, and all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's Tampa's first family of Ford, Bill Curry Ford. They are a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. And Sean Sullivan is your guy. He's the general manager. He's Ira's friend. He's fired up to give you the Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman discount at all times. But he's also going to give you personal service and guidance. You can email him. You can call him. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. I hear him calling right now. There's that beep right now, Ira. It's Sean Sullivan dying to help our listeners. BillCurryFord.com. Remember the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And Sean is going to give you $500 just to order a new vehicle. No deposit. And it's just that easy. And you'll get concierge assistance. You can read all about that at BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, we're also our good friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We got storms out there, Ira. You got to remember Florida's Elite Restoration at all times. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is where you can learn about their services. And the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast is Big Storm Beer, something Ira was drinking yesterday with fans. We'll talk about that later, Ira. We got to get the menu and your full rundown, as always. But, Sage, we're going to clear the floor. Lee and I are going to put our feet up. And we need a State of the Sage address from this huge, huge victory that none of us predicted.
Clear the runways, gentlemen. Clear the runways. Maybe we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, because something tells me that when the Bucks gathered before game one, this defense might have dedicated itself to, like, hey, it's the 20th anniversary of one of the great defenses in NFL history, 2002 Bucks. Lee, I'm not going to say that this defense has four guys that are going to end up with a bust in Canton, which I think is going to happen with the 0-2 Bucks, if not five guys. But I'll say this, collectively, they have done a remarkable job on the details. Steve loves to throw out some nuggets to me. I'm going to throw them out to you, Lee, right now. Third down percentage for the opposition through 2 weeks. 25% on the money down. That's why we're not talking about the Bucks' problems on offense on third down, because the defense is that spectacular. Lee, they have missed three tackles, according to Pro Football Reference, in 2 weeks. They have allowed 69 yards after the catch through 2 weeks. They're number one in sacks. This defense has been absolutely remarkable. And it comes as Bowles goes from solely defensive coordinator to head coach. You got to think Bowles is not as involved with the defense as he has been. He's putting out fires at one buck place left and right. Yet this staff has stepped up, especially this pass defense. You're not supposed to play pass defense in the NFL anymore. It's a lost art. The rules are killing you. Nobody can throw against this team. Again, it reminds me of 0-2. Now, we've got a short little sample there. 2 weeks. It's been Dak Prescott for two quarters. It's been Jameis Winston. Here comes Aaron Rodgers. But Lee, that's why we're not leading this podcast with what's going on with this Buck offense. They're 2-0 for one reason. And one reason only, the other side of the ball. And if this continues, this is going to be one hell of a year for Buck fans.
All those stats you threw out, Ira, the one that absolutely jumps out. Three missed tackles in two games?
That's what it says. That's what it says. And it's not the Buccaneer website.
I understand Pro Football Reference, and it's a credible website. That just blows my mind. If that's accurate, that is absolutely mind-blowing. That tells you all you need to know, to be honest with you. Three missed tackles. If you only have three missed tackles, you should have a good defense. That's just unreal.
Hey, Ira, you know what? Regarding the offense, and I think it's an important question. Now, there's many things to celebrate on the defense. We're going to dive into it. But the important question, I think, at the heart of the matter is, do we look at the offense yesterday and simply say, you know what? We'll say the same thing we said before the game. The Bucs have no answers for the Saints defense. The Saints have their number. Throw out whatever cliche you want. It's a bad matchup. Do we just look at that and say, you know what? Whatever happened yesterday on offense really doesn't really matter that much because this is the Bucs against the Saints and we just have to deal with it? Or do we have to dive deeper?
That's very well said, Isbitz. And it's a bunch of garbage. What you just said is a bunch of garbage. And you didn't even mention that there was no Julio Jones. There's no Chris Godwin. That's a bunch of garbage, too. And you know why, Lee? I'll tell you why. Because in the past, the only time teams stop Tom Brady and make him look mortal is when he's under siege. And Lee, you saw the game just like I did. He was anything but under siege. In fact, the pass protection, I thought, was tremendous. He had a clean pocket almost all the time, especially on the touchdown throw. He had all day, nobody in his face, clear vision. This revamped O-line, now their run blocking was not good yesterday. But Lee, Brady's got no excuses in my opinion. I don't care who's out there catching balls. You got all day to throw, and that O-line is doing a tremendous job in pass protection.
Well, I will heartily disagree about that. If guys can't get open, what are you supposed to do? Throw picks? And, you know, the Bucs are playing with backups. Let's be honest. I mean, Rashard Perriman, as much as I like him, he's not Chris Godwin. He's not Mike Evans. I mean, he's on the bench for a reason. Gage really hasn't done anything. I thought Gage was going to totally blow up the way he played in training camp. He hasn't done anything of note. I see where Steve's going with this. I think that's a factor that it's the Saints. The Saints have the Bucs number. I get that. I do believe that's a factor. But let's look at the bigger picture. Look what the Cowboys did to the Bengals. And as we speak on September 19th, the Bengals have better weapons for Joe Burrow than the Bucs have for Brady. Look who was playing yesterday. Tell me you wouldn't take the Bengals receivers over the Bucs. What, they have 17 points? But here's the main factor. Here's the money factor. The Bucs missed Gronkowski. The Bucs look exactly like, right now, like they did last year when Gronk was hurt. The one that sticks out is the Redskins game. They sucked on offense, man. Gronk wasn't there. Brady looks lost without Gronk, and I read something last night. Someone on Twitter said, well, Brady's starting to look like he's 45. Well, the last time I heard that was his last year in New England when, guess what? He didn't have Gronk.
Go back to my main point, Steven, and I need you to play off it. Brady was well protected and pretty well protected against Dallas.
Ira, guys can't get open. Come on now. I you're right. He was getting protected, but if guys can't get open, is he supposed to start throwing, forcing passes like Jameis Winston?
Steve, if these guys can't get open and Brady's got 3-4 seconds to throw, what the hell are they doing in the National Football League?
That's a whole different animal.
I have to say, I have yet to watch the game again, which I'll do later, look at some of the film and stuff. But I agree with you with the protection. What the Bucs have done with this makeshift line, and that in many ways, that's what it is right now. Hopefully it won't be later. You know, you've got Josh Wells out there starting, and then in comes Brandon Walton. The guy hasn't played in the National Football League, and there he is at left tackle, no problem. Yeah, they didn't call his name out. It was interesting on the radio broadcast, Gene Deckerhoff and Dave Moore, they were sort of saying, you know, let's not mention his name and let's hope it stays that way all game. And they didn't mention his name all game. And Gedeke's learning and they're protecting this guy. Tristan Wirfs, dominant the entire game yesterday. And Shaq Mason as well, who's, you know, some people said was not the greatest pass blocker. and they've done great. But, you know, if they're not open, I don't know. I mean, Scotty Miller was open a couple of times. He's getting hit. They weren't calling it. There was a lot that they didn't call.
Yep.
And it wasn't just the one penalty. You know, Mike Evans, I thought Byron Leftwich overall didn't do much to make things happen in this game as far as, you know, changing up if guys can't get open. I don't know. But the tight end position is glaring. Cameron Brate looks like he's running through mud, or I think Lee said fireman boots or something like that as far as the team the other day. Cade Otton, not there yet, still a rookie. Co-Keeft dropped his first pass. O.J. Howard all of a sudden looks like a Hall of Fame option, and he's not on the roster. It's a problem where it relates to Brady's comfort, Ira. They have to work around it, but I still, in my mind, I'm going back to, it's the Saints. They always play like crap against the Saints, but they also don't play too well on offense without Gronk.
They do. They do play poorly against the Saints. But Steve, they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. Penalties were okay until the melee.
Yep.
In fact, they benefited from a couple of bonehead New Orleans penalties. I think on balance, the Bucs got some breaks there. But Steve, one of the big factors, consistent factors in the Saints' domination has been the four-man pass rush. Cam Jordan's had his days. I watched Tristan Wirfs very closely.
You're right, Ira.
Yesterday. The guy's fantastic. And then when a fight breaks out, he's right in the middle of it. You got to love that, too. we have no idea how good we got it with that right tackle. I mean, unbelievable. Never mind tackle. He might be the best offensive lineman in the league.
Wow.
I mean, he might be. He toyed with Cameron Jordan. Killed him. Couldn't sniff Brady. Maybe things will change when Godwin comes back.
Yeah, I hope.
We haven't touched on this, Lee, but I think it's a very depressing aspect that Julio Jones lasted 1 week, Lee? 1 week?
At halftime, I was so infuriated. Steve's probably going to laugh about this if he hasn't laughed already. I started banging out a bunch of stories that thankfully haven't seen the light of day. Because I was pissed, man. And one of them was about, you know, I can't kill a guy. You know, Julio Jones is not Myron Lewis. He doesn't want to be hurt. Same with Hicks. But we know this. We all know this. The Bucks knew this. This is not rear view mirror logic here. But when you sign guys who have trouble staying on the field, don't be surprised if they can't get on the field.
And Steve, let's not forget, it is the oldest team in the league. We know Brady's 45. Maybe it skews the number. Maybe a half a year overall, maybe. But they're the oldest team in the league. And you know what that means? When you do get injured, it takes you longer to recover.
I want to make the point that you're dead on, Ira. I mean, I don't want to take that away from you. It's an interesting angle. The X factor in these Bucks losses to the Saints is that Brady's been under fire, under siege. Last year, you know, Jordan beat Wirfs twice and sacked him twice in the last game they played, but that wasn't the case. Yet they still couldn't do anything, and it's something to really look at. It's, you know, it's a very strong point, Ira. But also, as far as the health component goes, it speaks to the defense, which is incredibly healthy. Yes, Hicks got hurt yesterday. We don't know exactly what that is yet, but the rest of them are healthy. And they're firing around, and it looks great. And it's so dominant that it's just not a joke, Ira. I mean, the same thing happened in both games. In Dallas, they let up an opening drive. They moved the ball. They adjusted. Dallas got a field goal, locked them down after that. Same thing for the Saints. They moved the ball, got a field goal, locked them down. It's unheard of in this modern era. And the Saints have a ton of weapons. Hard to believe what's going on right now on the defense. And there's really no reason to think it's going to subside because it's all legitimate. None of this has been a fluke. The coverage is tight. The guys are hitting hard. White and David are healthy and flying around. And Shaq Barrett's off to a Pro Bowl start. And it's just good enough, even without Hicks doing much, because frankly, he hasn't been doing that much. A couple of plays, sure, but it's not like this appears to be a huge loss when we know that Nunez Roach has stepped in 2020, made 11 starts, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Well said, Steve. You know, Lee, if we got any Saint fans listening to us from Guam, might have a couple. And I could just hear them screaming back at the podcast, you know, oh, we didn't have Alvin Kamara. Lee, let's be realistic. Alvin Kamara hasn't done much against the Bucs. That's not the reason. That's not the reason the Saints have dominated the Bucs. Kamara doesn't do much against them. He doesn't run the ball. So, Lee, my point is this. So many guys on that side of the ball are playing great. I don't mean good. I mean, Carlton Davis has been tremendous. Winfield, he makes plays, Lee, like as the last line of defense. Remember, you know, the running back broke through Ingram, and it looked like, you know, right up the middle, and there was a lot of space. He might have even gone all the way, and there's Winfield. And he stopped them for a 10, 12-yard gain instead of 40. That's what he does with a formed tackle. Logan Ryan contributes, Lee. Edwards is playing great. Never mind Jamel Dean and Barrett. And Lee, they got it all going. And I got to give the coaching staff a lot of credit. You know, Lee, my column, I mentioned Kevin Ross and Rapone. They're doing a sensational job with that secondary.
Oh, yes, they are. Ira, I want your feedback on this. I know it's a different sport. But this guy was, you know, they're almost like brothers. They're so close. Bobby Knight and Bill Parcells. Bobby Knight always said, and I think this applies to football too, a good defense doesn't often have a slump.
Absolutely. They say the same thing about pitching, Lee, right? Pitching. Hitting comes and goes. I mean, look at the Dodgers. Their earned run average is under 3. They're going to win 112 games. Nobody can hit against them. They're in every game. The Bucs look like they're going to be in every game, Steve.
Yeah, because of the defense. The defense is good. You know, if you apply Bobby Knight's thoughts, there aren't going to be too many games that the Bucs are going to be out of it because the defense is going to keep them in the game.
I know, Steve. I know we'll talk about this more later in the week, but I don't understand the Vegas line on this game. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I think the Bucs are favored by a field goal. I don't understand that.
Put your money on the Bucs.
Steve, doesn't that kind of mean that they view both teams about even? I don't understand.
The line is a perception game as far as what fans believe and all that, and the Bucs haven't been putting up points. So when you don't put up points, you're looking at close games from the better perspective, and I get it. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later in the week. We'll see if it moves.
I remember, Ira, Aaron Rodgers stinks out loud in hot weather games. Oh, by the way, it's supposed to be 89 Sunday.
That's why I thought the Bucs should be like 4.5 instead of 3. But
okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Steve, Suckup's doing a nice job too right now.
Oh, huge. I mean, essentially that was a playoff game yesterday. That was the atmosphere. That was the environment. Yeah. That was the intensity. And so I look at Suckup as hitting two big 40-plus yard playoff kicks, and that was huge. I mean, he took a huge step in my mind, 4 out of 5 in the first game. Now he's 6 out of 7. Fantastic. It was just beautiful stuff. And the special teams has been solid, Ira. The coverage has been good. Darden had a nice return yesterday, like a 12-yarder where he juked a couple of jukes there. And
Kamara's been good, Steve.
Kamara's been fantastic, a real weapon. And that's really uplifting to see. And they need all hands on deck while the offense struggles, Ira. And just to sort of wrap up the tight end comment, 8 targets through 2 games, 3 catches for 20 yards. I mean, that's just really ugly when you consider that they've been struggling in other areas. It's not like, oh, they're lighting it up everywhere, so we're not throwing to the tight ends. They need the help, and it's not there. But as far as, you know, Lee mentioned Tom Brady's not forcing it, and, you know, him having no turnovers yesterday was other than the botched snap. I don't know whose fault that was, but it happens in the dome. It's loud, new exchange. They sort of implied it was Brady's fault on the broadcast, but it's hard to know. Regardless, Ira, turnovers, this was the difference in the game, and you got to give us the sage take on the irony of Jameis Winston throwing 1, 2, 3 interceptions on 3 consecutive drives in the fourth quarter. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my lifetime, with the last one being a pick 6 to Mike Edwards to close it out. Your thoughts there, Ira, because I've always said there's no soap opera like the Buccaneers, and you couldn't write a script like this.
You know, Lee, he hadn't shown that inclination as a Saint. I think he had 2 interceptions as a Saint in his limited time under center as a Saint. I think he had 2 picks. And Lee, you know, he reverted. He did revert to 2019. He tried to, push the envelope against a very good defense. And in the process, he might have cost his team a win. They might have won that game. It was close. It was 3-3. He had to fight during the melee. He got out of control. He didn't take what the Bucs gave him, which wasn't much. You know, you saw what Devin White said about him post-game. And, Lee, I really don't have a problem Devin White was speaking honestly. And the Saints are going nowhere if Winston plays like that.
I don't know what you want me to say, Ira.
and he wasn't any good. He wasn't any good before he threw the picks either. He wasn't any good. Every time he would try to hit the somebody deep, they weren't open. He threw the ball anyway. There was no variety in Winston's game. The game plan was lousy by Carmichael. I was surprised. I kind of thought Winston was over that. I thought those days were behind him. He looked very much like 2019, especially those last two games at the end of the season. And Steve, if he takes Devin White's words to heart, maybe it'll sink in. But Steve, after all this time, I mean all this time, this guy's been playing since 2015. And if he's still going to do this, I think he's going to go down, Steve, as a missed number one draft pick. That's just the way it looks.
Well, I just wanted to get your perspective, Ira. Not something we see every day like that, closing the game out. And, of course, being a former Bucs quarterback, it is what it is. And we'll see how their season progresses. Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration has $500 for Bucs fans who use their services. All you do is call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7 when you have a disaster in your home or business. Fire, mold, water damage, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be. You call them, they'll come out, give you a free assessment of your services. You let them know before you go ahead with any work, if you need it, that you heard about them on Joe Bucs Fan or the Ira Kaufman podcast. And if you need their services, if you go ahead with it, then they'll give you $500 off. It's fantastic. Great opportunity to use that $500 toward your deductible if it's an insurance claim, or just $500 off your price to make that repair or to restore that property after a disaster. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They're a family-owned company. They've got great experience. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster, so he knows all sides of the game and knows how to make sure your property and your wallet is protected. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Check them out. Save the website. Write down the phone number so when that disaster strikes, you know who to call. One thing I thought was important, guys, and it still remains a mystery, because last podcast, both of you talked about Todd Bowles playing games with the injury report, maybe. We talked about Leonard Fournette limping off the field in Dallas and then Lee seeing him being just fine in the locker room. No ice wrap on his hamstring, but he misses practice. He's got a hamstring issue. They use him as a workhorse yesterday, 24 tough, hard carries and going out for passes. And Fournette says in the locker room after the game, I caught it at Buccaneers.com. He was talking to an out-of-town reporter. Quote, I was damn near playing on one leg today. And he wasn't joking around. So it just goes to show you don't really know where these guys stand. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I was damn near playing on one leg today. The Bucs had to know he wasn't 100%. Yet we saw Rashad White get only two carries. No carries for Giovanni Bernard, who got hurt on a kick return. And Keyshawn Vaughn couldn't get a hat on. And Leonard Fournette right now, Ira, is on pace for about, 370 carries or so. That can't continue. He's not going to stand up in the postseason. If they give him more than 250 carries, that would be a shock. So I'm a little concerned that they got to get something else from there and that they didn't even go to it. There's some lack of trust going on when you got a guy who's out there and he's not even healthy.
Steve, I know what they said about Rashad White. I think it was Byron Leftwich. He did nothing wrong week one, absolutely zero wrong. It doesn't look like, Lee, that they have much faith in him at this point. I wouldn't be shocked if Vaughn is the number two back as early as this week against Green Bay. Wouldn't shock me. Lee, I thought Fournette gave everything he had. I mean, everything he had. Some of his five-yard gains should have been two-yard gains. There were no holes. The Saints did a very, very good job in shutting down Fournette. But it was no lack of effort by Fournette. I got to give him a lot of credit. If he was as crippled as he claims to be, got no reason to think he was exaggerating it. They couldn't run worth a damn, Lee, yesterday from the first quarter on. They could run the ball. And they ran it pretty well in week one. So we'll see. Right now, Lee, it looks like all the changes on the offensive line is affecting run blocking more than pass blocking. I'm shocked how well they're holding up. I got to give Joe Gilbert and that gang of coaches a lot of credit for getting these guys ready. Third string left tackle comes in. You don't even notice the guy. That is one heck of a credit to the coaching staff. And Lee, we've talked about it, you know, since Arians arrived. he brought in a very good coaching staff, and it's made a whale of a difference.
Yeah, he did. Now, about Fournette, yesterday, he says he's on one leg, and, well, last night he's doing a live Instagram video pumping weights in the Bucks locker room, or at the Bucks facility. So you tell me. I mean, I'm not about to doubt that a guy is hurt. I'm not about to say that a guy is, exaggerating or anything, but he's sure not acting like a guy is hurt. Well, yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, most guys that are hurt, you know, they got a bad hamstring and they got their leg wrapped up. They're going home to rest, not playoff Lenny. Maybe that just shows what kind of animal he is as far as, he's going to get himself, he's going to whip himself into playing shape.
Steve, let me make this point. When the season ends and Leftwich goes on his coaching interview assignments, he ain't going to bring the game film from week two. He ain't bringing it. And I'll tell you why. It was an unimaginative game plan. He didn't change up much as the game was progressing. The run game wasn't very good. He had to know Fournette's injury status late. Fournette's not going to keep that from Byron Leftwich. And yet, he doesn't give anybody else any carries. Steve, no screen passes, no draws. Very unimaginable. The first half was an absolute nightmare. Steve, four first downs. Are you kidding me? Five penalties and four first downs? What a formula that is.
Ira, think about this for a moment. But what I just told you, what I saw with my own eyes, both last week, after the game, last week in the locker room, I think Thursday, and then what I saw last night on Instagram Live, and then you just said how they didn't have Snake Vaughn active and left, which keeps feeding them the ball. What's that tell you?
I don't understand giving up on Keyshawn Vaughn already, Steve.
You're jumping ahead here, Ira. This evidence suggests to me that, okay, playoff Lenny's that hurt. Maybe he's not that hurt. He's hurt, but he's not that hurt. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just going off his comment, Lee, but you're right. All signs point to that he wasn't that hurt.
You know, Keyshawn Vaughn's more of a workhorse than Giovanni Bernard, who right now looks like he's, hanging on to his career by his fingernails. And the same thing with Rashid White, who's unproven, absolutely unproven. So I thought Vaughn was going to get a bunch of carries based on playoff Lenny being, having a gimpy hamstring. And Keyshawn Vaughn appears to be more of a guy that can absorb punishment than other running backs. I thought, sure, like you, Ira, that he not only was going to be active, I thought he was going to play a vital role yesterday. Well, I was dead wrong.
Ira, they did throw a screen. I don't remember if it was to White or to Fournette, but I believe it was dropped. They tried one. They didn't go back to it. And it is just something that's a little bit curious where the loss of trust is right now and how that looks in the next game. I don't know. White only having two carries in this game, somebody doesn't trust him. I don't know who that is, but it's somebody. And look, hopefully Fournette's fine, and whatever these guys do to get ready to play, that he continues to do it. But all I know is he can't continue to get 22 carries a game. It's just not going to work unless he's got some help. It's just the formula in the NFL. He's not Derrick Henry, and that's not the case. And the team isn't built that way. All right, Sage, one thing I wanted to throw out there, because it was in your column, and it goes to Tom Brady. I believe, Ira, that those quarterback sneaks that Brady has been so good at, he calls them himself, and he can check to them at any time. Whatever the play call that comes in, if he gives the code to do the quarterback sneak, he can do it, and that's it. He didn't call it. Can't hang that on Leftwich for whatever reason. Brady didn't call it. And when he screamed, when they didn't get it on fourth and one, and he, screamed a big F-bomb that TV cameras love to catch, I thought he was yelling at himself for not going with the sneak.
I don't care who's to blame. The fact is, it's one of Brady's calling cards. Now, look, when you look back at Brady's career, that's about the 22nd thing you're going to say, is that he was great on fourth and one getting the yard. And he's not particularly athletic, as we know, but he's great at it, Lee. He's been great for 22 years at it. I don't know what his rate is. I think it's probably 95%. I don't think that's an exaggeration. The guy gets the yard. He gets it. I don't like those slow developing plays, Lee. It's too much time for somebody to miss a blocking assignment. Crawl up Hainsey's butt and get the freaking yard. I don't understand what's going on. The next time, Lee, they got fourth and inches, Brady better keep that ball or we got problems. Now, another point about Brady. And Lee, I've come to agree with you about Brady at the podium and, you know, what's he going to say and forget it. Who cares? Lee, I'm with you. I'm joining you on that. But Lee, I'm staking my claim right now. I'm not wasting any time. This thing about Wednesdays, I don't know if he's going to be at the facility. Maybe he'll be at the facility.
I clarified earlier. Bowles said he will be there. Meetings, he's just not going to practice.
I don't care that he's playing pinochle, Lee. I don't care. He's not practicing, Lee. He ain't practicing. And guess what, Lee? They don't practice on Tuesday. And Monday's the day after. There ain't no practice then either. So what are we talking about? Friday's some kind of walkthrough. I mean, Lee, I understand all this. Concessions, he's 45. He can do what he wants. He doesn't need to practice. Lee, what are we saying now? You don't need practice? I mean, is that what we've come down to? So, you know, is it disturbing? That's probably too strong a word. But it's a little concerning, Lee. It is concerning. All in. I don't see it, Lee. Where's the all in?
Did he not have days off last year?
Lee, you're not going to practice every Wednesday? Every Wednesday you're not going to practice?
I don't think that's anything new, Ira. I really don't. And, oh, by the way, the guy's got street cred. You know, the goal is to get guys on the field on Sunday, not to have them fart around and get hurt on Wednesday. That's the goal. Sean Sullivan and I go round and round about this. Oh, my God, preseason is so important. You must get rid of my eight games. I'm like, no. I don't watch players play in SHIT games to get hurt. I don't care if they're sloppy as sloppy can be when the games count. At least they're on the field. The goal is to get a 45-year-old man on the field on Sundays. This is nothing new, Ira. Now, I don't know how many days off he had last year, but I seem to recall he had quite a few. And what happened? Well, he just led the league in passing. This is so overblown, I can't tell you. It's not like we're talking about Kyle Trask here, who needs practice. He needs three practices a day, let alone one practice a day. As long as Brady's in the building, as long as this is part of the game plan, he is in the building on Tuesdays as well. Starting quarterbacks are in the building on Tuesdays, unless your name's Josh Freeman. I think this is just over-the-top hand-wringing over nothing. I really do. I believe Bowles, that if Brady really needed to practice, they'd have him practice. No, by the way, I think Brady is smart enough to know if he needed to practice, he would also practice.
All right, let me clarify a couple things. I'm looking at some injury reports from last year because that's what has the answers. In the injury reports, if a guy takes a day off, they note it and say did not participate, rest day, non-injury related, that kind of thing. Okay, we all have seen that. So I'm just pulling up injury reports here. The week before they played the Bills, Brady practiced Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is usually the day that they're in full pads. For me, that's why it stands out a little bit, because that's the day they get the most hard work in. That's the day they're more full speed than anything else, where he can gain more chemistry with the receivers and things like that. Looking at some other games, Ira, as far as other injury reports, Falcons week last year, you've got Brady with a day off on Wednesday, like Lee said, and looking at some other weeks, you know, you've got him practicing on a plenty of Wednesdays, taking a Thursday off here and there, mixing it up a little bit. For some reason, they decided to do a set thing this year on Wednesdays. I don't know why Wednesday, when that's the day that they're in pads. I don't know. I'll maintain what I thought initially months ago, or weeks ago at this point, is that it appears that Brady's put himself on some sort of arm related pitch count to preserve his arm. I think that's a lot of why he took a lot of time off in training camp. You're not going to convince me otherwise. And now at the last minute here, they're casually putting it out there through NFL Network where it'll get lost. NFL.com. Brady's going to take Wednesdays off, and no big deal.
I would agree with you, Ira. I would be in your boat if he wasn't in the building on Wednesdays. That's install day. That's what they install the offense. And that was initially first reported, and I didn't like that. But if he's there, you know, he's working, he's there with his teammates, he's going over film, he's going over this, he's going over that, he's talking to guys, I don't, you know, We're talking about Tom Brady, 45-year-old Tom Brady, not 33-year-old Tom Brady. I know you're old school, Ira, and everybody needs to, you know, knows the grindstone, all that. We live in a different age, and it's about getting guys on the field on Sunday. That's all. And it's Brady. He's got streak again.
Steve, the last thing I'd say is simple. I would remind our good friend, Mr. DeKemper, Brady hasn't looked very good, period. He hasn't looked very good. This offense doesn't look good. So you throw that in the mix. It's not like he's got 7 touchdown passes through 2 weeks, you know, they're converting 32% on third down. They got things to work on, Steve, things to work on. A bunch of new starters. It's not like returning 22 starters. Those days are over. So you combine those factors, Steve, and it's a little concerning, just a little concerning.
I said earlier, Ira, I really think this is Brady without Gronk.
Yeah.
Now, last year when he didn't have Gronk, the offense struggled. It huffed and puffed. And once again, I believe with backup receivers, they recovered. Now, I know earlier you said, if they can't get separation, why are they in the NFL? Well, I agree with you. Why is Jalen Darden in the NFL? I don't know, because Bruce Arians said he reminds him of Emmanuel Sanders. Where is that? How many games has Darden been on the roster? Hello? Can I see some evidence? Please.
Steve, speaking of Arians, what the heck was he doing on the sidelines yesterday?
Yeah, let's get to that, Ira. Just looking at a couple more of these things, and just to close out this, Brady practiced every day leading up to the Saints game last year on Halloween. He also practiced every game, every day leading up to the Washington game. Both were losses, but he's been out there. He was out there a lot more than he will be this year. And there was a reason he was out there, because he valued practice, valued getting on the same page with these guys. And so I see where you're saying, Ira. I get what Lee's saying as well. It's something in between. Whatever it is, it's strange as it relates to Tom Brady. And I still think it's tied to his arm and whatever he's concocted with his personal team as to how many throws he can make each week. Ira, Bruce Arians.
Alex.
Bruce Arians, Ira, back in the spotlight. But Sage, you were in the spotlight yesterday at Big Storm Brewery, and you got to tell us about it. So it was your first watch party of the season. Next one is in October. We'll talk about that coming up. But Ira, so you get out there, you roll into Big Storm Clearwater. What were you eating? What's the over-under on calories, beer? Tell us what happened.
That was a lot of fun, Steve. A good turnout. A lot of people in the outdoor pavilion, a lot of people eating inside. I found myself a seat right smack in front of a big TV. I knew they were going to show the Bucks game. I start with a Bay beer right off the bat. Boom. Nice, tall glass, cold. Nikki was my waitress. Very good. And I'm kibitzing with different people. Guys are coming in. People are coming in. Love the podcast. Love you three guys. You're unbelievable. Keep up the good work. Never miss a podcast. Go to the site 6 times a day. There's always a fresh story up there. You guys got a lot of compliments. And then I hear from Izbits, Lee, to start buying people beers on Joe Bucks Fan. So I tell Nikki, the waitress, hey, see that table over there? Go buy them some beautiful Big Storm beer and tell them it's on Joe Bucks Fan. Big smiles all the way around. That first half was forgettable, of course, on TV. Rock Riley shows up at halftime. He's a lot of fun. Had a really good time. There were 100, 120 people out there. I saw a lot of familiar faces. People are bringing their dogs out there, nice and quiet. If I ever brought Cosmo out there, he'd be climbing on people's tables. You think I'm bad about tater tots, DeKemper? Wait till they get a load of Cosmo. But it was a lot of fun, and we're going to do it again next month. And then, Steve, we'll have a breakfast for the Germany game.
Glad you had a good time out there, Ira. Big Storm Beer, that's Florida's best craft beer. And they've got tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center. Getting closer to opening in Ybor, and, of course, the flagship in Clearwater there on 49th Street.
I was a good boy. The Kemper's not going to believe this because he's had a lot of meals with me. Lee, I had a salad. I did. I had the Big Storm salad with chicken. I coughed up another $3 with chicken. Delicious dressing. Then Rock came in. You know, he got the quesadillas with the chips. There must have been 47 chips on his plate. He only got to eat 11 of them. I scarfed up the rest. So, Lee, I started off the season being a good boy with a salad. But I can't say I'm going to keep that up. I think we're doing the Pittsburgh game in October. That's got to be a burger or a pulled pork taco or something. There ain't going to be no salad on that one.
Pierogies.
Well, well done, Ira. Very well done. And that tropical salad is fantastic at Big Storm. You can, I throw the mahi on there. It's just the menu's great. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, Bruce Arians, not in the press box or in a booth. He had promised this season he wouldn't be on the sidelines because he'll get in trouble yelling at the refs. There he was with Jason Light. And we don't know if he chose not to sit in the press box. I'm sure there were plenty of seats, not a lot of Tampa media out there. And of course, the national media wasn't, flying in big time for the 1 o'clock game, Bucks Saints. Not that it wasn't a big game, but anyway, I'm sure there was space for him. But Todd Bowles said today that they didn't have a coach's box or a box or a suite for the Arians and Light, so they were down on the field. I'm not sure. I believe that they couldn't find a seat or they couldn't sit with the Glazers in the Glazer suite. So it's a little bit shaky there, I think, in some ways. And especially when you consider later in the day, Bowles was on SiriusXM NFL radio and he said Arians, in fact, had a seat at the Superdome, but he couldn't see. Wasn't a good enough seat for him. He couldn't see, so he came down on the field. But the bottom line is Arians was on the field. He was cursing at refs, yelling. And if you really look at the highlights of the fight that broke out, you saw Arians, John with Lattimore, who came over to the Bucks sideline, which is supposed to be a flag if you're taunting the other team's sideline. But that's where it stands. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says the league is investigating Bruce Arians as part of the entire fight situation to see if Arians might be doing something inappropriate.
Speaking of Florio, we love Mike. He's very good to Joe Bucks fan. But in the words of Bruce Arians, and he said it directly to me, well, what's with this guy, Florio? He hates me. He did say that to me months ago. So it predates this latest little conflict. For whatever reason, those two are not getting along. I loved what Arians was doing, Lee. I got no problem with it. I love the combative nature, you know, jarring with Lattimore. Maybe throw Lattimore off his game a little bit because Lattimore was playing pretty well up to then. I'm not going to blame Bruce Arians for the melee. I think that's a stretch. The fact that they, the suggestion that they couldn't find a booth for him, I mean, that's laughable. That is a terrible stadium and a terrible press box. Lee, you and I have been up there 20 times. It stinks. The elevator situation stinks. The press box stinks. But, Lee, they could have found a spot. You know, light calls, the Glazers, what are they going to say? You can't come in? Brian and Joel, I'm going to put up a wall. They could have been up there. So I got no problem. Now, the idea that the NFL is going to make a ruling on Bruce Arians, well, you watch the sidelines. There's everybody and his mother down there during a game. They don't keep track of what's going on. Light's down there all the time. So if Light's down there, I want Arians down there juring with Aaron Rodgers and throwing him off a little bit.
Some background here, and really none of this adds up. The very first thing NFL teams do is reserve X amount of seats in a press box, usually, for the visiting suits. That's mandatory. I mean, Ira, how many times have you seen Light and his entourage, or predating that, Dominic, or predating that, Bruce Almighty? Those guys are in the press box in road games, generally. Not all the time, generally. Sometimes they have a suite. Sometimes they have a box. Generally speaking, they sit in the press box. Hell, aren't you the one that was telling me that Al Davis used to sit in the press box?
Absolutely.
I mean, so that's mandatory right off the bat by the NFL. So the fact that the Saints said they didn't have anywhere to put them, that doesn't fly with me. Something's up there. That's number one. Number two, Light and his entourage, and Arians is part of Light's entourage, they always sat with us. I mean, basically, the press box at the Superdome is nothing more than the highest seats in the house in between the 35s.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Only they put up a row for us to put our laptops down. That's the only difference. And Light has always sat there. And the one good thing about the Superdome and the way the press is set up, that you can sit and BS with Light or whomever all the time because they're mingling with us. They're right with us. They're sitting with us. They're eating with us. They're in line getting grub with us. So none of this adds up. But, you know, Bowles said they wouldn't give Arians a box. Light never went on the sidelines for games until the virus hit. And at that time, NFL suits were segregated from the Untermenschen media, and I'm included in the Untermenschen, and because of the protocols. And at that time, that allowed the suits to go downstairs on the sidelines, and Light got in a habit that he liked the angles there to study players, and he generally goes down there a lot more often than what he previously did, which was prohibited at the time. Am I right on that?
I believe you are.
Yeah, very simply stated, executives were on the field during COVID, and Light liked it, and so he decided to keep doing it.
But, you know, aside from that, the hassle, the mealy, as Ira calls it. Yes, it was sparked by Lattimore shooting his mouth off at the Bucks bench, which Steve absolutely correctly said that was the penalty. Hell, we saw guys last year getting flagged for looking at the freaking bench. Never mind saying anything, just looking at the bench. There was a guy once near the Bears on Monday Night Football. He just looked at the bench, opposing bench, and he got flagged. So that should have been a flag right there, but what precipitated it was Scotty Miller was clearly interfered with. I mean, clearly. No flag was thrown. And if a flag was thrown right then and there, Lattimore wouldn't be shooting his mouth off the Bucks bench. The Bucks bench wouldn't have been pissed off to begin with. That created everything. Because of all people, Sean Hockley's crew, who can't, they throw so many freaking flags, they have to have Tommy John surgery in the offseason. And here a guy's clearly interfered with, they don't throw a flag, next thing you know, you're going to brawl. That is on the referees, plain and simple. If they were doing their job, that never would have happened.
And Steve, here's a wrinkle on Mike Evans' suspension as it stands as we record this. It appears he's going to appeal it. And there are two, Steve, there are two hearing officers that are going to hear this. One of them is Derek Brooks. And James Thrash, Brooks hears him on Tuesdays, generally, and James Thrash. I assume James Thrash is the guy that's going to rule on the Evans suspension.
I agree.
If it's up, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I think Brooks will recuse himself. He's that kind of a guy.
I agree.
Guess who came down with it, who determined that Evans should be suspended? John Runyon.
Oh, yeah, John Runyon. Yeah.
You know what his son does, don't you?
No, but I know Runyon used to play against the Bucks all those years for the Eagles. I know that.
Well, Runyon's son plays for the Packers.
Oh, boy.
Or the Packers played this Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Well, I wish Mike Evans luck with his appeal. To me, he's got absolutely no grounds. The NFL's not going to say it's okay to sprint onto the field because Evans had already been to the sidelines to sprint on the field on a dead ball to go go blast somebody. You know, it's just silly. You can't do that. But it worked in some ways, Ira. It seemed to spark the team, or maybe it shook up New Orleans, whatever it did. We'll take it. They're 2-0. And Sage, before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody that Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry 40, is there for you. And not just on his Best in Class podcast, which you can listen to and subscribe to, Apple Podcasts, wherever. You can check him out on BillCurryFord.com and reach out to him for assistance. Remember the Ira Kaufman discount. Remember that it's so easy to order a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, and Sean is going to give you $500 just to do it with no deposit. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, last thing I'm going to ask you so we get the hell out of here. You know what? We were critical of the offense. I know you talked about Fournette, gave it everything he had. Was he your MVP on the offense, Ira? Did you see anybody else that you liked out there?
Well, I got to go straight to Tristan Wirfs again, Steve. I know I sound like, his biggest booster and his fan club leader. The guy is fantastic. I mean, let's be honest, Lee, the guy never has a bad game. Cam Jordan's one of the best DNs in this league, he got the best of them. Wirfs got the best of them. So not a lot of standouts on the offensive side of the ball. I thought Shaq Mason played well, Lee. All the stars aligned on defense in week two. And I expect more of the same when Mr. Rodgers comes to town.
Sage, we have more of the same later this week on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We appreciate all of you listening and checking in with the Sage, coming out to support him at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Ira will be back later in the week to see if the Bucks can go 3-0.